رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Amongst the benefits and virtues of reciting Durood e Pak upon the noble messenger, the best of creation, صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم, there is a beautiful hadith e Pak in which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is narrated to have said that decorate your gatherings by reciting durood upon me. For this durood will be noor, yani light for you on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, from time to time in the gatherings, the ijtimas of Dawat-e-Islami, we get the opportunity to reflect and to discuss and to talk about some of the problems in our communities, some of the issues that our youngsters, our Muslim youth face in this society. And through the works of Dawat-e-Islami, we try to work together in order to resolve those problems and those difficulties. Today, my dear Islamic brothers, I want to talk about a problem, an issue that you could say as the days go by, as the weeks go by, as the months and the years, this problem is getting worse in our communities. Sadly, from time to time, this problem, rather than getting better, is becoming worse. And that is the problem, that is the issue, my dear Islamic brothers, of drugs. Today we're going to hear a bayan about the destruction of drugs. And you might be thinking to yourself that in ijtimas, you know, you would expect to hear a bayan about namaz, about roza, about zakat, about having a good character. But this is such a disease, my dear brothers, this is such a problem that I'm not exaggerating, I'm not being dramatic, but at this moment in time, all of us, we need to understand that on the streets, we're going through a drugs epidemic at the moment. Any drugs are rife in our communities. Drugs are destroying families in our communities. And this is a problem. You know, you might think to yourself, this bayan is just for people who take drugs, or those people who used to take drugs. Not just for them, my dear brothers, for myself, for yourself, every single person in this room, everybody listening to this bayan is for you. Why? Because all of us, either in our immediate family, in our wider family, or in our circle of friends or contacts, we will all know somebody who's involved in this problem. If we don't know somebody who's involved in this problem at the moment, we may well do in the future. If we do not in the future, then we must learn about it now, because we live and our children are going to live and grow up in this society. And it's not the case like it used to be previously that You know, as parents, we would think that when kids become adults, when they go to college, when they go to university, that's when we talk to them about drugs. Because drugs are taken at college and university. You know, the times have changed, my dear brothers. Maybe when we were growing up, we only heard about things like cannabis and drugs when we got to college and university. Sadly, today we're in the situation where year 7 students in high school, in the first year of high school, they're taking cannabis. They're smoking cannabis. This is the reality of the situation that faces us. So that's why today we're going to focus upon this issue of drugs, the ill effects of drugs, the impact it has on a person individually and on that person's family, on his community and on his iman as well. With this intention that we can save ourselves, save our family and save our communities as well, my dear brothers. With that intention, inshallah azawajal, we're going to hear the bayan today about drugs. And we're going to start, I want to share with you an ayat from the Holy Quran. Advice that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us. In Surah Ma'idah. Translation taken from Kanzul Iman. Allah Azza wa Jal says, O people who believe, wine, all intoxicants, and gambling, and idols, and the darts are impure. The works of shaitan. Therefore, keep avoiding them so that you may succeed. This is the advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran for us to avoid these things. Why do we need to avoid them? What is so bad about drugs? Let me just tell you some examples. And we can't cover all of them in the time that we have today. But let's start with a drug, a substance, which is absolutely rife in our communities at the moment. And that is cannabis. Often, it starts from cannabis. Or weed, or skunk, or whatever they call it on the street. Absolutely rife in our communities. Especially amongst our youngsters. And youngsters, when you talk to them or you hear them talking about it, they say, it's nothing. It's just a spliff now and then. Just to relax. Just to take my mind off things. Just to deal with my problems. Yeah, cannabis. Let me tell you about some of the problems of cannabis and where it will lead. Today we think it's just one spliff. Today we think we're just doing it to chill out with the lads, with the boys. Let's try to understand where this one spliff of cannabis might take you, my dear brothers, in a few years' time. The consequences for a person himself. What risks is a person taking with himself when he rolls up a spliff and he takes it with his friends and he chills out? Let's listen. Listen very, very carefully. They say that there is a link between cannabis, people who smoke cannabis, and all sorts of health problems. Physical health problems and mental health problems. I want to read to you a passage. This is from an authoritative government website. That there is now sufficient evidence to show that those who use cannabis, particularly at a young age, such as around the age of 15, they have a higher than average risk. Tawajjuh se suniyega. They have a higher than average risk of developing a psychotic illness such as schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. Ab aap kahenge, what's schizophrenia? We've never heard this word before. What's bipolar disorder? Never heard that before either. Let me tell you. These are mental health problems. Severe mental health problems. What are the symptoms? What happens if you have schizophrenia? Let me tell you, my dear brothers. Somebody with schizophrenia, the most common symptoms is he has hallucinations. He'll be sat in a room with other people perfectly fine, and a person who has schizophrenia, he will see things before him that don't exist. He will have auditory hallucinations, yani he will hear voices, and these voices will tell him bad things about himself, that you're worthless, you're good for nothing, and this then leads to people who self-harm and commit suicide. hallucination. This is one symptom of schizophrenia. Another one is delusions. What happens is these things mess with your mind so much that you start to have paranoia about other people. So if you sat in a room perfectly fine, and there'll be another person in that room or wherever he is, bus station, train station, and these voices will tell him that this person, he doesn't like you, or this person is about to attack you. And what will he do? He'll go and attack that person in defense. Halakha is nothing like that. This is voices telling him this thing in his head. And similarly, it leads to a person having a complete lack of interest in himself. Not bothered what clothes he wears, he's not bothered how he looks, he's not bothered whether he takes a shower, any complete lack of interest in his own life. This is one condition, schizophrenia, that I've talked about. And there is a link, a very, very strong link, between people who smoke cannabis regularly during their teenage years, during their adolescent years, and then people developing this illness in their later life. And you know, the thing is why we don't appreciate it, we don't see it on a day-to-day basis. Because people with mental health problems, we don't see them every day. There are hospitals full, my dear brothers. Ask people who work in this area. Ask people who work in this field. There are hospitals up and down this country, in our locality. Mental health hospitals. And these mental health hospitals, my dear brothers, are full. These wards are full of youngsters. People that me and you went to school and college with. People you would recognize if you walked into one of these wards today. And they are there not because they were born with this problem. They weren't born with schizophrenia. They weren't born with mental health problems. What happened? They went through school, college, university. Because of a bad crowd, they started smoking this substance. And from one thing led to another. Today they're locked up in hospital, my dear brothers. Over what? Over having a good time. Over chilling out with friends. This is just one consequence of drugs. There are so many. Let's move on. We were talking about people being locked up in mental health hospitals. The problem about drugs is that it doesn't just affect the individual. It affects his whole family. You know, we talked about destruction of drugs. Drugs not just destroys that individual, it destroys his whole family. Ab aap bataye, that the person whose son is locked up in a mental health institute. The parents whose child is locked up, not because he's committed a crime necessarily, but because he's got no control over his own actions. Their beloved son or their beloved daughter, locked up in hospital. What is the effect on that mother and that father? What good is that child to his parents? I want to share with you a couple of real life waqiat, yani true happenings that brothers have seen with their own eyes. This is the reality of drugs, my dear brothers. This is the effect it's having on our communities up and down this country. That there was this brother, he represented one of these people in hospital. And he met with his parents. And his parents, buzurg. Father, quite old. Mother, quite old as well. And they sat there and they cried and they said, it was the month of Ramadan, it was nearing the time of Eid. And they were saying to this brother that, you know, how they spend their day of Eid. She says that, my husband, he goes out to read Eid namaz. And the mother, she stays at home, she prepares food. And what happens? As soon as he comes back from Eid namaz, they can't sit down and eat like everybody else. Like we all do after Eid namaz, we sit with our families and eat. He says that me and his mother, we pack that food into boxes and we drive 120 miles so that we can go and see our son on the day of Eid. This is how they spend the day of Eid, my dear brothers. Another incident. There was a young lad, only 22 years old. In the prime of his life, we would say, 22 years old. And he was again locked up in one of these mental health hospitals. And he was completely had no idea what day of the week it was. He did not know who his mother was, who his sister was, who anybody was. Completely off his head. And when you read his reports, what was the reason? Again, through school, through college, cannabis. This comes up time and time and time again, cannabis. And we need to learn, my dear brothers. And this young man, he at home, he was the eldest son to a single mother. Single mother, and he was the eldest son. And that mother, she you would say she was crying tears of blood, my dear brothers. Because, you know, when, especially in our community, you know, when parents, when they have children, you know, parents have so many hopes and aspirations for their children. They dedicate lives. Those of you who are parents know this. We dedicate, or you dedicate your life to your children, especially mothers, especially women. They have a special attachment to their kids, to their children. Because no matter what is going on, they will deal with any difficulty. Their hope, their future is, as long as I have my children with me, they are going to support me in my old age. As long as my children are well and happy, I don't care about myself, as long as my children are okay. Parents, women, mothers especially, dedicate their whole life to their children. They don't think about themselves, they think about their children first. Their hopes, their aspirations, their dreams, they are all pinned upon their children. And you will agree with this. They don't have desire for a flash car or a big house. All they desire is for them to be happy with their children. Now imagine the situation of that mother. Exactly the same. When her son was born, how happy she would have been. Allah has answered my du'as. Allah has given me a son. Somebody who's going to look after me in my old age. Somebody who's going to be there for me. Somebody who's going to care for me. And why was she crying so much? Because what did she see before her eyes? Her 22-year-old son, her hope, her dreams, her 22 years of hard work. He was walking around not knowing whether to say, whether to stand, what to say from his mouth. That's why she was crying. She couldn't even speak. That's how emotional she was. I mean, what have I earned in this dunya that my son, my eldest son, younger brothers and sisters, they look up to him, they need him, he's not there for them today. And what caused all of this, my dear brothers? Again, comes back to the same point. He was a young lad like everybody else, going through school, studying GCSEs. Why did he end up in that path? It was cannabis. It starts so often, it starts with cannabis. And we minimize it. You know, if somebody says that, yeah, this is dangerous, they're like, what you want about? It's only a bit of Buddha. It's only a bit of cannabis. It's only a spliff. It's nothing. We minimize it. We say it's absolutely nothing. You think it's nothing, then go yourself into these mental health hospitals. Go into the house of a person who has this mental illness and then tell me that cannabis is nothing. It has the potential, my dear brothers, to destroy an individual and destroy his family. The person has no interest in family anymore. All his desire is to get his next spliff, to score the next drugs. Why? To satisfy his addiction. Mother and father, our parents work very, very hard for their money. In this country, when they came from abroad, worked in factories, double shifts in factories, taxi drivers, they work so many hours. And parents, imagine the predicament of that father who earns money, halal money, and he works very, very hard to earn that money. And his son, who is now old enough to look after parents, that son is taking the halal earned money and going and spending it the haram way. What will that parent, what will that father be thinking today? And how many fathers are there like this in our communities? And that's not just somebody's father, my dear brothers. That's not somebody's parents. This is our community. Today that's somebody else's parents. Tomorrow it could be ours. So we need to appreciate, we need to realize the dangers that these drugs have on a person, on his family. And then it doesn't just stop there. That it's bad for me, it's bad for my family. These drugs have a wider impact on our community as well. This is what today all of us need to understand, my dear brothers. That these drugs, what impact are they having on my society? the streets where I live, what impact are they having? We live in a culture now where everybody sadly respects people. We give respect these days based upon what? Money, car, status. Fulan, he's got the latest model. And the kids, they will be in awe of him. Yeah, look, he's only 20 years old, he's only 25, look what he's driving. The latest model. The latest 4x4. Look at the clothes he wears. Look at the money he's got. Look at the houses he's got. And he's got everything. And we live in this culture, sadly, where our youngsters, they grow up looking at that. And when they think to themselves, this guy didn't go to university. His father wasn't rich. How did he end up with so much money? And when they learn that, well, he did it by starting to deal drugs. And then, unfortunately, this cycle continues. The number of drug dealers grow, and that means the number of drug users grow as well. We need to put an end to this, don't we? We need to stop this cycle of destruction being caused by drugs and by drug dealers. Drug dealers, my dear brothers, who are destroying our communities. These drug dealers are not anybody's friend. You know, often you'll hear these drug dealers when they'll talk, and they'll talk like they care so much that they won't sell drugs or they won't deal drugs where they live. What will they say? I don't do this in my own backyard. They won't sell drugs to their own people who know them. They won't sell drugs to their best mate's little brother. They won't sell drugs to their best mate's son or his nephew. They won't do that. Why? Because best mate's going to come and say, what are you doing selling drugs to my little brother? They won't do that. They say, no, yaar, of course he's your younger brother. I'm not going to sell drugs to him. I'm not going to sell drugs in my own backyard. I know he's your brother. He's your son. He's your nephew. I'm not stupid. I won't sell drugs to him. But you won't sell drugs to him because he's your own son or your own nephew or he's your best mate's son or your best mate's nephew. But what about that guy 2 miles down the road who you're selling drugs to? Isn't that somebody's son? Isn't that somebody's nephew? Isn't that the brother of some sisters? Isn't he the hope and the aspirations of somebody's parents? So these drug dealers, my dear brothers, they're selfish. Their only interest is to make money. Their only interest is to exploit this addiction that people have and make money out of them. They're not businessmen. They're doing the worst type of business possible. They're playing with people's lives. And collectively, as a community, my dear brother, we need to put a stop to that. Collectively, we need to work together to get these drug dealers off our streets. Why are the number of drug dealers growing? Why are the number of drug users growing? What have we done as an individual? What are we doing as a collective, as a community to stop this? And we're talking about the effects on the community. What happens is that these youngsters grow up looking up to these people. These youngsters then see the media. And in the media, in the movies, these people are portrayed as role models. In the movies, on the TV screen, in the media, these people, they're presented as cool. They've got the latest gadgets. They've got the latest cars. They've got everything. So there's this whole campaign that's happening at the moment in the media, on the streets, which is telling our youngsters, this is the life to aspire to. Our youngsters, our children, my dear brothers, they're going to grow up in this society. They're going to grow up in this community as well. And if we're not careful, why is it today I don't smoke drugs? If this is what we're sat here thinking, it's not a problem for me, I don't smoke drugs, none of my children smoke drugs. Let me give you some facts and figures so we realize how stark this problem is in our community. Where we are heading. Again, these are government figures. That on average, 20% of youngsters, before they reach adulthood, that's 1 in 5 youngsters, will abuse drugs at some point. 1 in 5. You know, all of that we heard about the mental health problems and problems for the family. One in five potentially is ending up in that situation. Are we happy with one in five? That's way too much, my dear brothers. Even one in 100, even one in 1,000 is way too much. That is a member of our community who's going totally down the wrong path, and we cannot afford to lose him. Many of our youngsters here, or our children, will go through education, school, college, university. It says, again, the research says that half of all students, as parents, it's something for us to be very wary of. Half of all students will try drugs at some point during their studies. And then, in terms of where these drugs lead, in terms of criminal activity, etc., it says that in prisons, yeah, the Muslims now account for 14% of the prison population. 14%. And when they do research about what makes people commit crimes and what were the circumstances that led to the incident, 82% of them are related to drugs and alcohol. 82%. This is where our community is today. This is the situation that we are in today, my dear brothers. We need to wake up. We need to realize the situation, and we need to work to stop the situation. Going through some of the problems here, so that if anybody here has ever been tempted or may ever get that opportunity again, so that we can walk in the other direction. Everything I've said so far, put it on one side. Mental health problems, physical health problems, family, mom, dad, community, all of that on one side. Yeah? Put all of that on one side. What I'm going to tell you now, this, from today onwards, my dear brothers, if we've smoked drugs before, then let this be the reason that next time somebody offers it to you, you walk in the other direction. Let this be the reason. Everything else on one side. Here, listen very, very carefully. The intoxicants, things that intoxicate you, yani drugs and alcohol. What did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam say? He said that intoxicants and iman cannot mix in the same way that oil and water cannot mix. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, great scholar, great buzurg, he says, in terms of the causes of a bad end, what would make a person leave the dunya without iman in a bad state? One of those causes he mentions is that a person who makes regular use of drugs or alcohol. Leaving the dunya, my dear brothers. And we spend our whole life here in this dunya, enjoying the blessings, the ni'mas that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us. With family, we've got car, we've got job, we've got finance, everything. And then we leave the dunya in this state. What a risk we are taking with our lives there, my dear brothers. What a massive risk that is to take. Playing with your iman. We should understand that we're going to die one day. Ki humne marna nahi hai. Are we going to stay here forever? And when that day comes, what if? Just think to yourself, what if somebody's got this habit? Or tell them if you know somebody. That what if that day comes, the angel of death comes to me, and I'm in the state of being intoxicated. It says that the way a person leaves this dunya is the way he shall be raised on the day of judgment. Now you should imagine the humiliation, imagine the embarrassment of that person who on the day of judgment, when he meets his creator, when he meets his Lord, he does so in an intoxicated state. How sad would that be, my dear brothers? And do we have any guarantee that when we link up on a Friday night, on a Saturday night with the friends, and we say, yes, we're going to smoke some weed today. And they plan this, the youngsters plan, on the day of Eid, a day of celebration for Muslims, a day of reward for Muslims, a great blessed day, youngsters plan, yani specifically they plan to buy drugs to celebrate the day of Eid. Now what guarantee do you have? That in that state, you're chilling out with your friends. You're in, God knows what city you are in. chilling, driving fast, and you're intoxicated, what if death comes to you at that point? What if death was to come to you at that point? Then what will happen? How will you be raised on the day of judgment? Aap suniye. He mentions in a hadith that a person on the day of judgment, when he will come out of his grave, the grave will smell worse than that of a rotten corpse. His intoxicant, yani the thing that he was using to intoxicate himself, that will be hanging around his neck. And the tool that he would use, so if he was an alcoholic, then a glass in his hand. If he was using drugs, then that spliff, that will be in his hand on the day of judgment. Just imagine that. You know, today youngsters, they think they're cool when they're smoking. You know, it's glamorized drugs. Not just the taking of the drugs, but the whole situation surrounding it. Today we think we look cool smoking drugs. We look down upon people who don't. We think they're simple, they're straightforward. Imagine the humiliation on that day, on the day of judgment, if you find yourself in that situation. The whole creation is going to be present. You know, today we commit a sin, we try to hide it from people. We do a certain thing, we don't want our parents to find out. We don't want our big brother to find out. We try to hide the sin. What hiding is there on the day of judgment? Who is you going to hide from on the day of judgment? The whole of Allah Ta'ala's creation is going to be present. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how will we face him? How will we face the likes of Imam Hussein? Have we forgotten their sacrifices? These people who did so much for Islam, and on the day of judgment facing such embarrassment. These weak, weak bodies taking that punishment in the grave and the hereafter. This is the situation. Now listen to the opposite. An obedient person, how will he be raised on the day from his grave on the day of judgment? It says, again in the same narration, that the good people, the angels will descend for these people as they rise out of their graves. The angels, they will console them. They will remind them about paradise. And they will say, paradise is waiting for you. They will say, shortly you are going to be taken there. And there will be noor on their faces. Some of them will be reading the azan. Some of them will be praising Allah Azza wa Jal. Think about it, my dear brothers. Of those two categories, which one do we want to be in? Which category, which side do we want to be in, my dear brothers? It's time for us to reflect. Time for us to think very, very hard, my dear brothers, about this reality that we face today. This reality of this disease that is rife in our communities. And we often underestimate it. The point we're trying to get across today is that these drugs, they're on our doorstep. You know, today somebody else's house is burning. Your next door neighbor's house might be burning. It's not good enough just to sit in your own house and think, well, it's his fire, let him deal with it. Because if his house is on fire today, and if you don't do anything about his fire, that fire is going to destroy your house as well. We need to put out this fire together. And we need to do it in a sensible, in a structured manner. Youngsters these days, we get so passionate. These same youngsters who smoke drugs. You know, any time there will be any sort of issue in the media about Islam, they will be like, look, conspiracy is going on here. These people, look what they're doing to Islam. Look what's happening in Fula country. Look what so-and-so government is doing. Why isn't that government speaking? Why isn't this person doing anything? Look at the Muslims. The Muslims are like this. There's this conspiracy theory. There's that conspiracy theory. Yaar, what about the conspiracy theory you are doing with yourself by smoking drugs? There's no government involved in that. You know, we're very passionate to blame other people, to talk about where Islam is. Where is our Islam today? What are we doing for Islam? What good is that person, what good is that individual to his family, to his community, to his religion, if all that is on his mind 24/7 is when will I next have drugs? What good is he? He's no good to anybody. And we cannot afford to lose these people from our community, from our societies. You know, in this day and age of turmoil, You know, you look around the Muslim world, sadly, there is destruction, there is calamity, there is problems everywhere. In this day and age, in this time, what we need as Muslims is to hold steadfastly and strongly to the true message of Islam. Every youngster that we lose to drugs, it's a battle. It's a war, in fact, between the straight path and between this disease of drugs. Every individual, every youngster that goes on that line, that is a youngster that we have lost. And we cannot afford to use even a single person towards drugs. These young men and young women, my dear brother, they are the future of Islam. And we need to preserve this, we need to work with them. We need to, as an individual, think that, what am I doing for my religion? What am I doing for the sake of my Islam? Forget what conspiracy is happening in any other country. Me as an individual, how much am I serving my deen? Meri zindagi ka maqsad, teri deen ki sarfarazi. Main isi liye musalman, main isi liye namazi. This should be our mission statement. Represent Islam in its best form. How are you going to do that if you're off your head every night on cannabis? How can you be a true representative of Islam if all that is on your mind, whether you're in the masjid, whether you're sat at home with your family, with your parents, whether you're sat at work, the only thing that is on your mind is, when can I meet this dealer, when can I give him some money, when can I take that stuff off him, and when can I have a so-called buzz? What can we achieve as ambassadors of this religion? It's time for us to think, my dear brothers. Time for us to reflect. And we need to come to a conclusion. We need to come to some sort of agreement that this issue, this drugs that is rife in our communities, how are we going to tackle this? How are we going to prevent our youngsters from going towards that line? Because you might think to yourself that, you know, is over-exaggerating about what cannabis does. We know so many people who smoke cannabis. They're absolutely fine. They're now married. They've got kids. There might be. There may well be people who did smoke cannabis, who did take drugs, and it hasn't led to the same problems for them. But let me ask you this question. That if there is a risk, even if the risk is not 1%, is that a risk worth taking if it's your own son? You would never want to take that risk. We need to change this, my dear brothers. We need to, all of us, as a community, sadly, we have not understood, we have not appreciated where these drugs lead. You know, when we meet people in these hospitals, parents, and they be like, kid was going to school, I had no idea. And the youngsters, you know, when you talk to them themselves, they will say, you know, don't even look at any report. Don't look at any book. You sit there and they tell you, this guy's got mental health problems. Young Pakistani Muslim living in this country, I promise you, first question you ask him, did you smoke cannabis at school? He will say yes. Why are we letting our brothers and sisters go down this route? We need to stop this, my brothers. This is absolute destruction that's going on. These drugs that are taking children away from their parents, taking brothers away from their sisters, taking, absolutely tearing families apart. If today somebody else's house in turmoil, tomorrow it could be mine. And before it becomes mine, I need to put a stop to it. So my dear Islamic brothers, I urge all of you, anybody listening to this bayan, let's put a stop to these diseases. Let's put a stop to these intoxicants. The Muslim community is better than this. The Muslim, a mu'min, a believer, is far better than this. Let's put a stop to this. Let's attach ourselves with this environment of Dawat Islami. This environment, my dear brothers, wants nothing else. Amir Ahl-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami, this organization of Dawat Islami, no other motive whatsoever. Khalis, absolutely all that is wanted, the whole purpose of setting up this Tanzeem, only reason was for the Muslims to come back onto the straight path. We've seen it with our own eyes. The biggest MPs, the biggest shaksiyat, wealthy people, they will come to the Bargah of Amir Ahl-Sunnah. They will travel miles and miles to meet him. And when they meet with him, He will not ask them of anything else. He will say to them, come and give some time to your deen as well. This Dawat-e-Islami, my dear brothers, join a religious environment. You don't, honestly, people say that you need drugs or they become dependent on drugs. I promise you, you don't. What you need to do is occupy your time with the correct things. Use your time for deen. Use your time in the masjid. Use your time in this environment of Dawat-e-Islami. You will find that peace and that serenity and that sukoon that you are looking for. Guaranteed, you will not need to look anywhere else. The sukoon and the serenity, inshallah, you will find in the environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Dawat-e-Islami does not want anything else. They will not teach you how to become the next millionaire. Will not tell you about how to do the next business. Dawat-e-Islami will make you a true Ashik-e-Madina. Dawat-e-Islami will make you a true Ashik-e-Rasul. Nothing else. This is all that Amir Ahl Sunnah wants, for people to become true Ashik-e-Rasul. To remember the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To remember the sacrifices of the Sahaba, the companions. You know, this is the time, my dear brothers. You know, when there's so much turmoil all around us, you know, to remember the lives of the great Sahaba, the great companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the people who sacrificed their lives, their families, all their wealth for the sake of deen, for the sake of Islam. This is what our deen wants of us. We really want to take it forward, then commit 100% with full yakin and full heart to deen, to Dawat Islami. Inshallah azawajal, you will be successful in this world and in the hereafter as well. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, wherever you are, attend your weekly ijtima, attend the next Madani Qafila that travels. Honestly, I promise you, when you travel on a Madani Qafila, you spend 2 days in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, 2 days in a masjid, learning about the basics of your deen. We have seen it personally with our own eyes. Youngsters who used to say that I cannot survive unless I have a sig every half an hour. Youngsters who came on the Qafila, and before they used to take drugs, they used to abuse drugs as well. 2 days they have spent in the masjid. At the end of the 2 days, they've been crying, saying, we don't want to go home, we want to stay in the masjid. This is a revolution that Dawat-e-Islami is bringing. And Dawat-e-Islami can bring this revolution to many more homes if all of us join and if all of us play our part and all of us help as well. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us all tawfiq to prevent ourselves and our families from the destruction of drugs and the other diseases that surround us. And may Allah Ta'ala, for the sake of His beloved Habib, grant us all paradise without question through the mercy and the intercession of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
For you is my prayer. May you keep